This is Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had any need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There we go. That's 47.
Thanks, Nicole. And good morning, everyone. I've got the message today, and we're going to be digging in a little bit to this scripture. So first, some context about this scripture in Acts. So we believe Acts was written by Luke and named after the Acts of the Spirit rather than the Acts of the disciples. Now, in the timeline, Jesus has already died, rose again, been with the disciples for 40 days, appeared to many, and he has now ascended to heaven, and he's promised to send his Spirit. The disciples have received the Spirit at Pentecost, and Peter has just finished one of his best sermons ever, pleading with the people to believe in Jesus as the Saviour of all. Then comes this wonderful little text about a small group of people, early believers, living out their faith in what some might call the forming of the church. Now, in my Bible translation, this passage is titled The Fellowship of the Believers, which sounds to me a lot like we already do in church. But there's a few key differences. They're getting together every day instead of just on the weekend. They're doing communion every day. They've joyfully sold their possessions to give to anyone in need. And they have everything in common. Now, the word used here for common is the Greek word that you might be familiar with. I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Koinonia, which has three or four different English translations. Here, it's most likely translated as sharing. So they shared everything they had. Now, as far as we know, the disciples didn't ask the people to do any of this. They did it as an outflowing of the Spirit that gave them joy, hope, and love for each other. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, this sounds a little bit extreme. Is this what God really intends church to be? And what does that mean for us as a church today? Now, growing up, I was lucky enough to be brought up in a family that has a faith in God's abundant provision and a desire for reckless generosity. Our home, our dinner table, our time, and our money were shared with anyone who asked, and sometimes even with those who didn't ask. As a young man, I remember the frustration I would feel as my parents would continue to give stuff away. I thought it was reckless and they should be saving their money and guarding their time for a rainy day. But my parents, however, never seemed to be happier than when they were giving of themselves for someone else in need. I remember one time I came home late one night from a friend's place. I was about 17 years old to find a stranger asleep in my bed and a couch set up for me to sleep on instead. I wasn't thrilled at the time. Why didn't they give the other guy the couch? Maybe this is the radical generosity God is calling us to. Let's turn to the Bible story together. Now, I've heard that when looking at the Bible, it's good to start at the beginning and work your way forward. So I'm going to go all the way to the beginning and briefly skim through Genesis. So in Genesis, we see how the Garden of Eden depicts our fellowship with each other and with God, and how this has so many similarities to the church and its intended purpose for us to look after God's good creation and glorify God. After our rebellion in the garden, though, we see God's plan start to unfold. God chooses a small group of people to be his. Not because those were the only people that he wanted, but because he wanted all people. Israel, the chosen people, was to live out God's way of life, looking after the good creation and loving God and loving each other as an example for the whole world. So Israel was kind of like a ground zero or a mission control for a worldwide mission to bring all people to God. So God in his wisdom gives Israel a set of laws that if they follow with his help, they would live in harmony and glorify God throughout the whole world. God asks his people to build him a center of operations or a home amongst them so that they know he is dwelling with them and working with them. Now we know, of course, that no physical place can hold the Spirit of God, but God provided them with a physical place to go to bring their worship to him. This place was the tabernacle and then later the temple. And it says that the Spirit of God was there. But time and time again, Israel failed, using the law to their own advantage or ignoring it completely. So, what does this have to do with first century Christians selling their stuff and giving it to the needy? This Old Testament law and the nation of Israel can sometimes be perceived as disconnected from these new believers filled with the Spirit in Acts. In Acts, we see the Spirit at work, helping the new followers to live with the love for God and each other as the law intended, just as it helps us today to do the same. So I want to pop up the Bible verse that Nicole read on the screen. I'm going to screen share with you, so you're going to lose everyone's videos. And we're going to go through this verse and just look at some of the similarities in this verse in Acts and some of the similarities of what we've just spoken about with the Old Testament law. Now, so in the law, God gives them opportunities to devote themselves in worship to him. And we see the first passage here, they devoted themselves to the teaching and to fellowship. God gives them instructions for breaking bread and sharing meals of significance together, opportunities to praise God, and provision for the poor. I'm just going to move into the second passage here. And we see in the second half here that in the law, God also gave them instructions for looking after those in need. There were laws for leaving food for free at the edges of your field, laws for setting slaves free, for cancelling debts completely, and even the tithes every 3 years were to be given to the poor. Does this look or sound familiar? The Old Testament laws are saturated with joyful giving and love for each other, all centered, around God, fellowship, and the dwelling place of his Spirit, which was the temple. But Israel failed to keep this law, so God fulfills his plan all along by sending his son Jesus to be the perfect law fulfiller on our behalf. I'm just going to figure out how to stop sharing. There we go. Fantastic. The perfect law fulfiller on our behalf. With Jesus and the new covenant, the law wasn't done away with, but fulfilled in a way we never could. At Pentecost, God's Spirit finds a new home, not in the temple of Israel, but in our hearts. We are the new temple, the dwelling place of the Spirit, along with the whole of creation. We are the grateful participants God uses to spread his love, forgiveness, and blessings out to the whole world. With the outpouring of God's Spirit, the law was written on our hearts and minds, and we see the early Christians here in Acts living in fellowship and glorifying God as intended. What does this mean for you and me today, though? I don't know if I can just quit my job, sell everything, and do communion every day. And you may or may not be called to live in that way. But the early church was responding to the Spirit's prompting out of joy and hope. Now that's something I think I can do. In our lives, we can respond to the Spirit's prompting to worship, to pray, to give generously, to celebrate and remember what God has done for us, and to fellowship together with sincere and glad hearts. Now, the early church in Acts did not stay as described here for long, but soon spread out throughout the nations, forming smaller communities that met regularly, spreading the word of God throughout the world. We see letters throughout the New Testament to the various churches encouraging them to continue to live in response to the cross and in response to the Spirit. These encouragements are as relevant to us as a church today as they were to the first century churches. Maybe even some of those letters could be retitled First and Second Mirabakians. How can we continue to respond to the Spirit that's at work? My prayer for you all today is that you can allow room in your life to be responsive to the Spirit's prompting, even if it ends up looking a little bit more like this. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through the Fellowship of the Believers verse again in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 47. And just listen to the verse and let it just kind of be something that you mull over. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone in need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Thanks very much, everyone. And I'm going to hand back to Spud.